Shalom, everyone. Today is Sabbath, March 18th. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Send the questions which are too personal and or are not related to the teachings to questions@maitreya.org. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom everyone, welcome to the mission and our room called Calling Elects. You now can go to our website and look at my gene makeup. When we first came to the PAL talk and start the mission and outreach here, some people came to our rooms and insisted that I have my genes tested to see if I'm connected to the Hebrew race, that I claim that I am from the ancestry of King David, Hebrew. They suggested to go to a specific place that they knew to test my gene. And of course, as you know, there are so many people in this world with so many agendas these days that you cannot completely succumb to their recommendation, because they have some specific agenda they might be pushing. So I wasn't afraid to do that. I want to know the truth as everybody else. What is the truth of everything about this mission and God? And did he really choose this vessel to bring this message to humanity? Until I recently heard about a company called Genealogy by Genetic Limited. Therefore, we look at this company and we came up with realization they are an independent company and they are not biased. So anonymously we let them test the gene and find out, do I really connect to the Hebrew race? Of course, the genetic result came last week. I was surprised to see how much it reveals to humanity, and after testing and looking and meditating on it, I realized that we indeed can have a kind of a lecture on that topic. So, we go through the founding of this test today, and we'll see that how it connects my gene to all the races on earth. And indeed, God make it again clear that he has not left anyone out of his revelation, and all are his children. We will not take many questions today because there's a lot to talk about, and we have an objection that this test is not conclusive. They use this test even in courts, and they are the closest conclusive conclusion you come to scientifically. So we're not going to go to detail of it. The reason they are not
sometimes
conclusive is because the people who do that, they have agenda. They wanted to specifically emphasize one part of it. But when you look at it in general, pretty much they are very acceptable as a way to connect the person to the scene of crime. If you genetically test it, you're pretty much proven you have been there. If you go to the website and look at those results, you can see that they have connected the gene to many races. And of course, the most important one, which is prophesied to come, is connection to the Hebrew race, the line of tribe of Judah that was supposed to bring the last revelation or open the book sealed with the seven seals. And that, of course, has been confirmed. Also, the whole genetic makeup confirms our teachings that Indo-European came from the steppes of Europe and spread to east to India, and a branch of the Indian European race, Indo-European, came to Iran, in the north of Iran, and from there, of course, a lot of historical truth continue to unfold. So connection to Hebrew race to prove that Maitreya has the potential to be the line of the tribe of Judah is there. Of course, that alone is not conclusive, but when you also study the revelation, the genealogy, and all the other evidence together, that brings greater validity to that claim. It also shows the connection to Prophet Muhammad to prove that Maitreya is, or I am, the Sayyid or descendant of Prophet Muhammad, because Hebrews and Arabs both have come from the same father, which is Abram or Abraham. Indeed, they are half-brothers, and they should indeed recognize that and come together and stop fighting and destroying each other. And connection to Turks, of course, has been also confirmed, which Nader Shah was a Turk. And Turks are mostly probably were related to American Indian. If you know
an American woman in
Vermont, her name is Yawahu or something very close to that, she teaches that the brothers are the Buddhist and the Tibetans in Asia, and now they have very
united.
And one of the prophecies in American Indian is that the end time will come when they find their brothers. And therefore, Turks came from American Indian and entered Asia from the north. That's why you find most of the American Indian looking, or the yellow race, in the north of Asia. And they eventually became strong enough to start attacking and creating problem for China. And in order for China to withstand their attacks, they start trading with them and even giving their princesses to
the heads of
Turks in order to stop their attacks and become allies instead of attacking them. And eventually, of course, the Wall of China was built to keep the Turkmens out of China's border. Therefore, there was intermarriage between Turks and Chinese, and Nader Shah, of course, was a Turk, and from that we can conclude also the genes are connected to China and Turkmens and American Indian. And of course, the connection to the Hebrew race is confirmed, but it has a long story how this came about. As we said, European came from the Europe to India and to Iran, which Iran actually means the land of Aryans. And something interesting happened when they came to India and Middle East. As we know, the land of India used to be a part of Africa, and it was separated from Africa and came and went underneath the continent of Asia and start pushing it upward. That is why the Himalayas mountain were formed and become the highest mountain on earth. Therefore, we can conclude those who were living in the island which came as the land of India, which is not a part of Asia, were black people. They had dark skin. And when European came and entered that land, they intermarried with those races. That is why still you can see the north of India, they are lighter skin than the southern part. One branch of that European traveler came to Iran, in north of Iran, and settled there. And they also, of course, encountered the native, which a lot of them have come from Africa, and Suez Canal really wasn't there. There was a place called Reed Sea, that's sort of reed, and it wasn't that hard to travel. And that's where exactly where the Hebrew and the Moses went through from Egypt to the Promised Land. That's why it wasn't really a Red Sea when he was going over that part of earth. It was a reed and it was a marshy kind of a place. So there was easy way to come from Africa to Asia. Therefore, that branch also mixed with the people in the north of Iran and those areas. Something happened when the European and the dark-skinned people came together. It is then that we can see suddenly great prophets start showing up in history. And for the first time, Zoroaster brought the teaching of one god, Ahura Mazda, and the devil, Ahriman, and the idea of a savior by the name of Shah Bahram that will come at the end time, and eventually the good will succeed over the evil. The idea that now shared with the Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teaching, that of course spread, and that branch of Aryan who came to the north of Iran, they became Zoroastrian. And that is when the enmity between the branch in India and the branch in Iran started, because the branch of India, which considered the one that came to Iran as brothers, they became Zoroastrian. They no longer believed in many gods and statues and Krishna and this and that. And of course, the branch that became Zoroastrian, they wanted to change the one in India to their religion, and probably the war or the epic of the Bhagavad Gita could be very well be the wars that they raised between those two branches. And there are a lot of stories also in poem having around about the wars that they had with the people in the east of them. Probably they had a lot of people who spread out to spread the message of Zoroaster. And Abraham also could be one of them. That is why when to the area which were Assyrian, he opposed the worshipping of the idols. There's a story that he was living in an Assyrian city, and he was opposing the many gods these people had. And of course, they didn't like Abraham saying them, you should not worship idol, you should worship one god. And one day they had a big feast, and everybody left town. And when they came back, they saw that all their idols are destroyed and the head of the idol have a hammer in his hand. They figured out right away, because the only person who didn't go to that feast was Abraham. So they accused him of destroying the idol. He said, no, I didn't destroy him. The big idol got angry and got the hammer and destroyed the rest. And they said, you can't do that. It's just a statue. He said, why do you worship him if you cannot do that? So they chased him out of town. That could explain why Abraham left Ur and started traveling with his family to other land. Abraham was chosen to start the second plan of God, or Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i faith. That is when the Old Testament starts. God chooses him and promises him that he will have two children, Ishmael and Isaac, and each of them will have a prophet come from them, and they will have a great territory, a nation, and a company of nations. Historically, we can see that Persians knew that Hebrews were the brothers. We can see in history, Cyrus, when he conquered Assyria, he destroyed everything and killed a lot of people, but he was very kind to Jewish people and Hebrews and brought them back to Iran, and still few branches of Jewish people living in Iran. Three wise men knew this. That's why most probably they were Magis from the Zoroastrian religion who calculated and went to see Christ, because they also were waiting for the Messiah or the Savior come from that race, and they knew the connection that they have with the Jewish people. Prophet Muhammad knew this when they asked who is the next people who will have great influence and prophet will come from them. He put his hand in the lap of
Solomon,
Farsi, Iranian, said from these people, and we can see he was correct. Bob and this revelation both came from that area. As we know, the Hebrews were separated and split to two nations, house of Israel in the north and the house of Judah in the south. And the house of Israel in the north eventually left and came to the west and eventually ended up in Europe. That's why you have names like Denmark, Dan from the Jewish tribe of Dan, Denmark, or Danube, the river, and many names that you can see is related to the tribes of Israel. So they came back to Europe, and the Jews, of course, also were taken with the Assyrian to Syria and eventually with Cyrus to Persia. And they interrelated and mixed with the Persian again, and that is where my genealogy comes from. From those people who came to Persia, and even some of them married with the royalty there, and so the genetic makeup came back down the genealogy. Of course, they originally were Persian anyway, so they did have the gene. So we can see that connection is proven. And since tribe of Judah included Judah, the tribe of Judah, which all the kings should come from, and as God promised in the chapter 49, Genesis verse 10, the kingdom will not be departed from the Judah until the Shiloh come. And of course, after that, it still continued in the genealogy of Abraham and Hebrews to this point. So we can see the plan of the Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i all fulfilled through Abraham, which God promised that this is going to happen through him. Of course, Arabs are the children of Abram and Hagar. And as we know, Hagar was black. They became Muslims and covered most Africa, Spain, some part of France, and mixed up with the English for 200 years. French conquered England for 200 years and eventually end up at South America. Spain was the people who came and conquered South America. So that is all from Saudi Arabia, covers Middle East, North Africa, and part of Africa to South America. So God again fulfilled his promise that there will be a nation from him, which their number cannot be counted and will be the number of stars. That's one nation. And since Hagar was black, surely I will have the gene of black people in me. And there is no doubt that I am connected to Nader Shah, and he did have the blood of American Indian and Chinese. So I am connected to the yellow race and the red race. Basically, they are one race. They changed a little bit when they came to Asia. And of course, I have the European blood. Therefore, all the races again are unified here to bring the unity of genes for all humans to recognize they are included. As far as they follow the eternal divine path, as far as they recognize that there is only one God for all of us, there is no separation between us, as far as we recognize we are all brothers and sisters, then we can come together and create the kingdom of God on earth and the peace that all of us are longing for. Our leaders and humanity have lost the truth of our origins and where we all have come from. By this recognition and realization, we will see that we have gene of many nations and many people in ourselves, and we are carrying them with us. And apparently, God likes to see inter-race marriages and children, and by mixing them together more and more, we will have a more peaceful earth, and there is no pure gene on earth. And even if they are, still they have the essence of God in them, and they have to recognize that essence in them and others. Therefore, not only teaching covers all religions on earth, not only religions are unified, not only the way is given how to bring God's kingdom on earth and many other unification signs, now it is shown God indeed made sure that genetically also I am a universal man, carried gene of all the people. It is indeed an act that only God can accomplish. It all is to glorify God. Therefore, it clearly says God exists. God planned it. God promised Abram. God promised Abraham. All the prophets from Judeo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i came from the same origin, Abram. Abraham, he has guided the history. He has guided the migration of humanity. He has indeed made this very, very unique for human to recognize. It's impossible anybody can come and claim to be the mouthpiece of God without proving these things. When I started the mission, I loved the teaching. I wasn't looking for prophecies or genealogy or genetic makeup. But here it is. When I send the email to the people who are close to the mission and inform them that the genetic makeup is in the website, many of them send me email back that we don't need genetic makeup to believe who you are. And indeed, blessed is he who does not need genetic makeup to see the truth and vision in this revelation. But for those skeptics still looking for proofs, here it is another proof. There is another proof for everyone to look at it, to see it, to recognize first God truly exists. He said he will do all these things. He has done it. Now, genetically, according to the science, which proven to be 99% correct, this is proven that my gene is connected to all races on earth, that indeed I am connected to Hebrew race. In fact, Hebrew race is connected to Persian race, and they're all brothers, sisters, blacks, covered, whites, yellow, red. Not only Arabs and Jews are brothers, they are also brothers of Iranians, and they should just come together and stop fighting. And Iranians, of course, connected to Hindus and
so on.
The second plan, of course, starting Far East, which came with the Hindu religion, which is a mystical path, and Buddhism, and all the religion that says, know thyself to know God. That part of God's plan, of course, covers many great teachers and revealers, like Krishna and Buddha and Shiva.
And Baba.
And many, many beings that came to earth and brought the truth of unity of man as man and God, or Atman and Atman, self and self, Khud and Khuda. That part of teaching, of course, had a different historical explanation that, again, in this mission have been explained how God also chose those people as the keeper of the mystical path. If the Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teaching also recognized the mystical path, they will realize that the essence of God is in them. The holiest of the holies indeed is within you. Nothing is holier than what is in you. No place, no saints, no being, and that is the message of the mystical path. Of course, Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teaching geared to tell you you are a sinner, you are a bondman, you are nobody. And the preacher can tell you what to do, and whatever the preacher says, you follow. Because only preacher is connected to God. But the mystical path teaches you your essence that God are one. If you close your eye and experience the unity between you and God, then you recognize you indeed never existed. Just somebody asking me when I'm going to die, what's going to happen. So I'm not going to die. I never was. How can I die if I never was? But I ever was at the same time. So you can see with these teachings, we release man to God directly. We destroy anything between you and God. And that the preachers will not like, because you are free to God directly with understanding the eternal divine path, following the 15 commandments, understanding indeed freedom does not mean chaos. Freedom does not mean you can do whatever you want. Freedom means you are free to choose God or not to choose God. The consequence of your choosing, of course, is the karmic bound that will come to you. If you choose God, you are free. If you do not choose God, you will fall. As simple as that. But the message of the mystical path have to be included in Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teaching. And therefore, they understand that they have direct relationship with God. And also, mystical people should realize that God had another plan to revealed the necessity of community of light, sacrificing in the community, surrendering and submissive to God, and become universalists, then we are going to have the elects, those who indeed are beyond intellect. They are para, beyond vipra, intellect. They have experienced God directly. Indeed, when you experience God and God reveals something to you which is truth, He even does that behind the curtain unless you catch Him once in a while and say, "That's you! Give me all this knowledge and revelation." Still, He hides Himself from you, and therefore you think you are the doer, but indeed it is God. So when I received this genealogy and looked at it, and this thing started coming more and more to me, it was just amazing that how God is protective of this revelation and mission, and how all these things we have been claiming are the truth, and how the migration of humanity has happened, and it showed very clearly that what we have been saying now genetically also can be proven, and the uniqueness of the vessel indeed has proven beyond any shadow of the doubt. It is now time to come forward again and not to stay on the sidelines, but become engaged in any way you can to let this truth and beauty to be spread to humanity. I'm pretty much done with explaining the genetic makeup and the relationship with the all races and human migration. Now you have any questions, you can go ahead, and I'm going to go and look what that was. Of course, Brahmamurti is asking, could this be another way of fulfilling the prophecy that all shall see Him through the genes? Yes, indeed, it could be. God has made it very clear that there is no race that is not covered in Me, and therefore they are a part of God's plan. They can say, yes, the prophet was from My gene, and they are not left out. If they are waiting for Maitreya come from China, there it is. It has come. If they are waiting for the Masuwu come from east to the west, a white man with a beard, of course I don't have beard now anymore, but I used to, there it is. If the Muslim waiting for Mahdi and the Savior come from Arabs, it is. If the Jews are waiting for the line of the tribe of Judah or the Messiah come from their genes, there it is. If the black people think that Christ was black, probably He had the gene also. So in a sense, they are correct. So everybody can claim that the Messiah is from their race, but at the same time have to recognize that it also was from other races. So the racism, separation, and saying that the Messiah came from My race or His race or that race is over. Now it's the time to recognize that God indeed look at all the humanity as a part of His children. Whoever is following the eternal divine path to its max or maximum is greater in His eyes. He does not look how you look. He looks who you are, or what you are, even better than who you are. Who you are might give the impression that what family you are from, or what social level you are from, but what you are is, what are you? And that, of course, is more important than anything else. So it was interesting to receive this genetic makeup. I never really considered ever to have it done, but when we came to the PAL talk, there were so many requests about it. Sound like there were some people that actually was obsessed about it. And they were keeping asking me, you know, why don't you do it? Are you, you know, afraid that it proved that you are not connected to Hebrew race and all that? And I said, no, I'm just not going to do it the way you want me to do it. And now it is done. And indeed, it's amazing to see these things and recognizing that God has proven in every way for humanity to see this clearly and recognize indeed all religions of the world are from the same source. He has prophesied he will send all of them. He said at the end time, the book with the seven seal will be opened, and no one can open that book but the Lion of tribe of Judah. If my gene had come and said, I am not connected to the Hebrew race, that would be the end of the story. And I would not be the possibility for being the Lion of tribe of Judah. But there it is, right in front of our eye. God says, you are connected to the Hebrew race. So the gene says, I am. The genealogy says, I am. The prophecy says, I am. The teaching and revelation says, I am. And if anybody says you are not, they are wrong. And it really doesn't make any difference who says what. When God wants something to be done, it will be done. If God says he is the one that has been chosen to bring this revelation, so it is. And it is not that you have to glorify me. It is all to glorify God. He has done it. He has created the history. He has sent the prophets. He has sent different revelation. He is the one that has to be glorified. Of course, as Christ said, I glorify the Father and Father glorifies me. And whoever glorifies Father and me will have everlasting life and all that you can read in the scripture. But in truth, all should be connected to God. Anything between you and God should be destroyed. Be it an idol, be it a rabbi, be it a mullah, be it a father, to be anything that you consider holy is not as holy as the essence of God within you. Therefore, you have the holiest of the holiest within you. And with this revelation and revelation of the seventh seal, you have the grip of a good life, how to live with the communities. And of course, pretty soon, we will create a small community in Albuquerque area, in Rio Rancho. We are planning to come together in a small cul-de-sac with the four units as a start of a community of light in that area. Therefore, we can see the beginning of a community is being forming. It is called to elects. It is called for those who, no matter how they look at this revelation and this teaching, it ends up based on God's word, based on prophecies, based on the truth and coming of the golden age. This is going to happen. Nothing can stop it. And I said many times, this is the latest news for humanity. No news broadcast really can come close to what humanity have been sent to with this revelation. There is some questions here. Timothy is asking, talk on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, sure. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming up pretty soon. I think it's 10th or 11th of next month. It is the feast that Hebrews observed at the time when they were in Egypt. They were enslaved for 200 years, and now God decided to take the yoke out of their back. Of course, that was what God told Abraham will happen to his children. They will be enslaved, and they will be suffering for 200 years. And when the time came, God promised that they will able to leave Egypt and go to the promised land. The symbolic meaning of it, of course, is this external world is like Egypt. We are a slave of our desires, wants, impulses and cravings, and therefore we do what the world tells us to do. We become a slave of the external world, and we succumb to their yoke because it provides us with a place to live, food to eat, and there's no place for us to go, and we are afraid to leave the yoke because probably the slave master is going to lash us and keep us where we are supposed to be. Therefore, we are a slave of this world, like Hebrews were the slave of the Egyptian. But there is a promised land that God has promised every man and woman and child, and that is pure consciousness. We have to pack our bags and start leaving this yoke and fight with the king to get the freedom of our people and release them from this yoke to the coming of light and coming of the kingdom. And in that night, of course, God will send a spirit that will kill all the oldest son of Egyptian. So he brings great suffering to those who oppose this travel, this exodus of the elect to pure consciousness. The symbolic meaning of Feast of Unleavened Bread is great, and it's the first feast in the year, and the rest of the year is the time to travel and go toward that promised land. And at the end of the Feast of Tabernacle, we reach pure consciousness. Therefore, we can see that there are great meaning of this feast, and we have a lecture on that, which explains every aspect on it and how they eventually left the yoke of Egyptian, but they also took a lot of gold with them, which means they didn't completely disconnect themselves from the material world, and the very gold that they thought they took from Egyptian and they were attached to it end up to be built as their idol that they built after Moses didn't come back from the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So they failed, and although they wanted to go to Promised Land, there are a lot of traps and ego trips and things that still might ask to fall back. So the test was they forgot God and they failed, and when Moses came back, that was again the time of the sundering. He separated those who followed him and did not succumb to the idol worshipping and falling back to their old ways, but stayed with him and stayed pure. And those who didn't, of course, were swallowed by the earth, and on and on. So we can see it is a journey from the yoke of this world to pure consciousness. So that is why in this feast we hang up the hush sign in our doorpost as the sign of the obedience to God. We no longer put blood outside, but we hang up the hush sign in the doorposts, and God will pass us over, and we will be blessed with the Spirit of God because He knows we are a part of His last revelation of God, and therefore we can connect to Him and He passes us over. So that is what very basic of the explanation of the Feast of Tabernacle. And I think we have audio in the FTP site that it talks in a very detail about explanation of the feast. A sponsor is asking, is there a difference between a messenger and a prophet? In general, we have minor prophets or messengers, like Jonah. The only message he had was to go to that city and tell them they should turn around and go to God. Otherwise, a great disaster will come to them. Of course, he said, why me? I'm not a messenger of God. I can't do it. And he started walking to the other direction and took a ship to go away and not follow God. God made the people in the ship throw him out of the ship, and a big fish came and swallowed him and brought him right in front of that city and threw him out, and God said, go do your work. I told you to do it. Go do it. God is not the being that when you tell you something to do, you have a choice. That's why I said many times, those who are in this mission and see this vision, if they have a choice, they don't belong to this mission. That is not the way God works. Therefore, that is a minor prophet. It is just one small message and that was it. And there are the major prophets that they come to bring great revelation, like Moses and many, many prophets who came to the scene throughout the history. And according to Islamic teaching, there I think about 144,000 or 124,000 of them before Prophet Muhammad. And of course, they are a major prophet or major manifestation that we call them the founder of each seal. And they have come to break a seal open in the eternal divine path. And therefore, their vision, their revelation have a great effect on human history and the direction that human will go. We can see that clearly in the message of Christ, which made most of the West Christian. We can see the message of Prophet Muhammad, which made Arabs become Muslims, and many non-Arabs also become Muslim. And therefore, their message is not just a small revelation for a specific people or for a small town or even a nation, but it has a worldwide application. To this point, of course, all have been a part of this revelation. This revelation is the only revelation which have come for all humanity. It covers every religion. It shows the way to bring God's kingdom. It covers every aspect of humanity. Every question has been answered to this point. And indeed, it is the only revelation that the whole universe rejoices when the book with the seven seal is open. So, I don't know, you can say it's a mega, major manifestation for humanity, and it's a call to every man in the corner. It is to glorify again God that he has done it. He said it will come, and it has come, and therefore that is the only revelation we can see is the last revelation of God and the last truth come to humanity. So we can see there are many levels of prophets and messengers. Prophet Muhammad called himself, I'm just a plain messenger. But at the same time, he says, but if the prophet says follow, that means me and the Father are one. There is no separation. Therefore, he is also Messiah. Messiah means the Spirit of God manifested to earth and bring a revelation to humanity. Krishna says the same thing. He says that his Spirit rises on earth whenever there is the fall of man. And therefore, Krishna and Muhammad also were Messiah. They were the mouthpiece of God. So was Christ. And also Christ was a messenger, was a prophet. The Muslim distinguish between a Messiah and a messenger. They say Prophet Muhammad wasn't a Messiah, he was just a messenger. But we see clearly he says, me and the Father are one. And Christ says, me and the Father are one directly. And therefore we say he was the Son of God. And the Muslims say, no, God doesn't have son. But Christ never meant physically he's the Son of God, but he is one with the Father in his image, and the Son is in the image of God, and therefore he is the Son of God. Therefore, there's no physical manifestation of God as his Son, as some people believe. So we can see a lot of confusion on earth about this definition, and now, of course, they are all cleared and completely revealed what they mean. Seven major manifestations are the prophets that brought the seven seal. Therefore, prophet, messengers are the same, is the same as Messiah, and there are many levels of messengers and prophets. Indeed, they used to call even Cyrus Messiah because they believe he's connected to God. But he wasn't, of course, a major manifestation. I hope that answers your question. We close our room here, and hopefully again go to the website, see genetic makeup of prophets, and again recognize indeed this is the news. This is the news you have to take for humanity. Encourage them to go see, recognize the migration route of human race, and recognize that we are all have come from the races that have been mixed together. As now, we have to recognize to come together as one people. Again, you have a great responsibility in this endeavor, but it is not a very hard thing to do. The only thing is to educate people to see the truth of it. Even science now is backing us up. Even genes are telling us this is the truth. This has all the makeup of all the races on Earth. Therefore, it's not just a spaced out revelation of a crazy person came and revealed and claims things. It is something based on the scripture, based on genealogy, based on genetic. And if you are still hanging to the fringes, then you have really to look at yourself very, very hard. I leave all you guys to God, and hopefully you will see this clearly and also teach the humanity to come together. And with reaching to a space, as said many times, we do not have the problem of limited resources. And maybe eventually we will have a human that they recognize they're all children of one God. Salam, everybody.